Martin tonight. It has been a beautiful day and such a blessing to spend the day with Christians and just be encouraged and try to encourage each other in the Lord. I'm so excited to be with you all this weekend, so thankful for your presence, setting aside time on a Saturday. There was like 30, 40 men this morning. It felt like 8:30 in the morning, gathering together to talk about the Word. That's so encouraging to me. We don't meet in New York until 12 o'clock in the at noon, and so we're not used to those early morning hours, but that's definitely encouraging to see people getting up early and spending time in the Word. And 5 o'clock on a Saturday, you know, in the afternoon, there's a lot of other things you could be doing, but you chose to be here, which shows that in spite of our struggle with evangelism, we do want to grow. And I'm so encouraged by that. I'm very encouraged to see and to talk with many of you who have talked about your desire to grow in evangelism. And I pray that the things that we do this weekend will help us toward that end as the Lord's people. So we're talking about this weekend, disciples making disciples. Last night we talked about the call to make disciples. I want to talk tonight about the challenge of evangelism, and we'll talk a little bit about some reasons why we struggle and how to overcome those struggles in evangelism. But before we do that, let's read again from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The text says that Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, last night we talked about the process, a little bit about what evangelism is and what it involves. And we talked about the reasons why we need to get involved in the work of evangelism. If for no other reason, the fact that the Savior's desire was to come and to sacrifice his life to seek and save the lost, if nothing else motivates us, that ought to be enough to motivate us to make the mission of our lives to do the same, to seek and save the lost. And so we want to talk a little bit about how to do evangelism. We're going to spend most of tomorrow talking about that and how to sustain our momentum in evangelism. But I want to spend tonight really focusing on what are the hang-ups, what are the problems, what are the struggles, and what are the challenges that keep us from getting involved in the work of evangelism. What is it that keeps us from being effective evangelists? What is it that keeps us from doing the work of evangelism? Because when you read Matthew 28 and you read other texts like this throughout the Bible, you know, Jesus' command is not that complicated. It's pretty simple, right? I mean, it's not really complicated, like so complicated that we don't really know what Jesus expects from us or what Jesus wants from us. We talked about last night that at its basic level, all evangelism is sharing the good news. Sharing the good news of what God has done for us and what he is doing and what he is planning to do for us as his people. And so I want you to keep that in mind. As we talk about evangelism the rest of this weekend, I'm not just talking about, you know, inviting people to church. Not just talking about sitting down and having a Bible study. We're talking about, at its most basic level, we're simply talking about evangelism is the work of sharing good news with the lost around us. So let's talk a little bit about some of the reasons why we struggle. I asked you guys to take some time to fill out some note cards. I thank those of you who did. That will kind of drive some of our discussion today. And really, the response that I got was kind of expected. It was pretty similar to what I've heard in other places. Typically, people are the same everywhere, and we have the same struggles. But there are three main reasons why you all said that you struggle in evangelism. And there are three of the same reasons why I personally struggle with evangelism and have a hard time with this. And I want to talk about them a little bit tonight. The first one is what I will call craft. We lack the craft in evangelism. And I'm going to give you tonight four C's that I think help us to think about reasons why we struggle with evangelism. These are not original with me. These were shared with me, and I think they really help to summarize why we wrestle with this and why it's so challenging for us. So we'll start with this one, craft. For example, somebody wrote, "It's difficult for me to evangelize to others because it's hard to start the conversation. Also, if they're wrong about something religious-wise, I don't know how to tell them that they're wrong." That's a problem of craft. It has to do with, I don't know what to say, or I don't know how to say what I know I need to say, or maybe I don't really know where to start. And I think this is a pretty big reason why many of us struggle with evangelism, is that somewhere along the way, we don't know what to say, or how to say it, or how to do it, or where to start. Somebody said, "I feel very uncomfortable knowing that I may be asked questions that I don't have a ready answer to, even though I could find them quickly in my Bible." That, again, dealing with the issue of craft. I'm lacking the craft to do the work of evangelism. I don't know that I'm going to be able to answer the questions. I don't know if I'm prepared to answer every question that's going to come my way. And you remember last night I hinted at this, and I want us to take a moment to think about this again tonight. That one of the greatest things about evangelism is three simple words: I don't know. As an evangelist, you're only responsible for telling people what you know to be true. We are simply messengers. We distribute the message. You know, think about it. In ancient times, they didn't have email and they didn't have social media and that way of delivering messages. So they would send messages. Kings, ancient kings, would send messages with a messenger. And that messenger's job was to take that message and deliver it just as it was written and just as it was inscribed. The messenger's job was not to tamper at all with the message. And in fact, if a messenger was to tamper with what was written or what was said, it could cost them their lives. That's true for us in evangelism as well. It's not our job to create things. It's not our job to change things or to say things that we don't know to be true. As evangelists, it's simply our job to tell people what we know to be true. And I said this last night, I'll say it again. If you know enough to become a Christian, then you know enough to make a Christian. If you know enough to obey the gospel, then you know enough to share the gospel. If you struggle with craft, I want to think about how we can overcome that. Let's think a little bit about what are some things that we can do to overcome that. Well, one thing I would suggest, I think the Bible shows us, is find a mentor. Find a mentor who's more skilled in the area of craft. In fact, when you read the book of Acts, what do you see many of the evangelists doing? In the book of Acts, they don't go out alone. They often take another person with them to work with them in evangelism. We'll talk more about why they do that tomorrow. But one of the things you'll also notice is they often take a younger person with them. In fact, Paul and Barnabas first took John Mark. And then later, Barnabas goes a direction with John Mark. Paul ends up taking Timothy along with him and training him along the way. So one of the things you can do if you're struggling with craft, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say it, I don't know where to start in conversations, is find somebody who does know. Find somebody who does know how to talk to people. Find somebody who does know how to start conversations, how to say, they know how to say things the right way, and talk to them. Sit with them. Ask them if you can follow them around and learn from them as they do the work of evangelism. Another thing you can do is you can work on just learning a part of the Bible that you can share with people. don't try to master all 66 books at once. That can be a little overwhelming. But could you start with one book and read it over and over and over again? I have another mentor who talks about adopting books of the Bible. And his adopted book that he speaks about is the book of Luke. He reads it like 60 times a year or more. And the reason he reads it is because that's his go-to book. When he's going to share the gospel with somebody, he takes them to the book of Luke and he shares with them what he has learned from the book of Luke. Now, that may not be all that complicated. Take one book, find somebody who knows that book well, have them teach it to you, read it over and over and over again. Just a portion of scripture that you can share with somebody. Find somebody like Apollos did, who loves you enough to help you grow in these areas. Priscilla and Aquila, who took him aside and taught him more accurately and made him a more gifted, more useful worker in the kingdom of God. I'll say this too. Whatever the elders are doing, I'll put a plug for tomorrow. Whatever the elders and the evangelists are doing, or whatever they're planning to do this year, to try to help equip you in the work of evangelism, whatever they're doing to try to help you develop the craft, be a part of that. You know, make those things a priority in your life so that you can work on your craft and you can grow in your craft. Another reason that this is the big one, by the way, 80% of all of what I got from you guys, 80% would fall into this category. And that is, the second C is courage. Courage. Now, when we talk about courage, there's a lot of things that we can be afraid of. One of the big, there and really, you could see this as there are different types of fears, too. Some of our fears are related to insecurities about our craft. For example, and I'll call these more, maybe a little bit more reasonable fears. You may have a fear that you may end up hurting somebody more than helping. That because you feel ill-equipped and you're not ready to speak to somebody about the gospel, you may feel that you may end up doing more harm than good. That's a type of fear. There's also some fears that are a little bit more selfish, and I think I'll just be honest. This is my biggest struggle with evangelism, and that is, there was a ton of you who said this in on your cards. The fear of rejection. Just fearing, what will people think about me? What will people say to me? What will people do to me? Somebody said it's hard to evangelize because sometimes they won't believe you, or they might ignore you, or they might hurt you. Somebody said fear at a job, you might lose your job or even lose a friend. Somebody said fear of getting in trouble at school, or fear of getting in trouble at my job. Somebody else said, unsure how what you say will be perceived by those you're talking to. And you don't want to create a potentially awkward situation at work. Another one says, afraid they will think you are pushing your religion on them and afraid they will reject you. Fear of what they might say. These are all what I would call fall under the category of lacking courage, right? They're related to different fears that we have about sharing the gospel. And I want you to think about this for a moment. What do we do if our struggle is fear? Well, first of all, I want you to know that the Bible has a lot to say about overcoming fear. In fact, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Do you remember this story? This is the first time in the book of Matthew when Jesus sends out his disciples. He sends out the 12. He sends them out. Before he sends them out, he gives them a lot of instructions. But I want to pick it up near the end or later on in the chapter in verse 24, a verse we read yesterday, and pick up the reading there. And I want you to notice the emphasis that Jesus is giving in his instructions to addressing the problem of fear. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It's enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they call the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Did you notice how many times in that section Jesus says, do not fear? Did you notice how many times he addresses fears that we have in doing evangelism? He doesn't even stop there. He goes on to talk about the relationship, how evangelism may affect your family, and how it may affect your friends, and how it may affect your life. He says, don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Now, there's something that's a little troubling about this text to me. And that is that Jesus doesn't just like erase all of those fears that we just mentioned that we have about evangelism. Jesus doesn't say, you know, if you go out and do the work of evangelism, everything's going to work out in your life, and you're never going to have problems, and your relationships are all just going to be wonderful, and you're never going to lose a friend, and you're never going to lose a family member, and you're never going to lose your job, and you're never going to lose, you know, you're never going to get in trouble at school. Jesus never makes those promises. And that's a little bit troubling to me. Because isn't that a big part of the reason why we're struggling with evangelism to begin with? Is that we're fearing all those things. But I want you to notice what Jesus does do in this passage. Number one, he reminds us what we should really fear. Don't fear those who can kill your body but are unable to kill your soul. You think about this. A lot of times, isn't this our problem? Our problem is not that we're afraid, but our problem is that we're afraid of all the wrong things. We fear all of these things that can't really hurt us in the end. They might hurt us now, and they certainly can cause us great pain in this life. But they can't hurt us in the end. And Jesus calls us back to perspective. He says, think not about what they're going to do to you. Think about what the Lord will do to you if you're not willing to be obedient to his call. And we do well to think more about that. Sometimes we're way too concerned about what our bosses think about us, way too concerned about what our teachers think about us, way too concerned about what our friends think about us and what our family thinks about us, and not nearly as concerned as we ought to be about what the Lord thinks about us. What does God think about the life that I'm living? What does God think about the way that my relationships work? It ought to be God's opinion that matters most. And so part of addressing this lack of courage issue is learning to fear the Lord more than people. But Jesus says something else here that I think is so helpful to us. Because we are weak creatures. And by the way, the things that you guys mentioned here fearing are very real fears for me. It have been things I've struggled with throughout time as well. These are very real issues. But I love what Jesus says in chapter 10 and verse 29. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." You know what God doesn't promise? He doesn't promise that if you go out and do the work of evangelism, you will never suffer. In fact, he promises the opposite. If you go and get involved in evangelism, I can assure you of this: you will suffer. You will suffer. It will be painful. But what he does promise you is this: he will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will give you whatever you need. The Lord knows what you need, and the Lord knows what the sparrows need. And if God is taking care of the sparrows that are worth a penny, how much more is he going to take care of us? I'll tell you this from personal experience. You might be thinking, well, the Bronx does not sound like a place where I'd want to get involved in evangelism. But I'll tell you this from personal experience. I have never felt more safe and secure in my life as when I am obedient to the call and the commands of the Lord. There's nothing to fear, because the Lord is our shield. The Lord is our protector. The Lord is our God. And who is more powerful than him? If God is our God, what can man do to us? So I can't promise you that if you get involved in the work of evangelism, you'll keep your job, or that you'll get a promotion. I can't promise you that. I can't promise you that if you do the work of evangelism, you'll never get in trouble at school. Now, I want to say something there about that. There are ways to do evangelism with wisdom, and there are ways that maybe are unwise. If we're trying to open up doors for the gospel, there are ways to go about that that don't slam the door shut before we can open them. But truth be told, there may come a day in this country where Christians start losing their jobs because they are doing the work of evangelism. And that day may be sooner than we think. And there may come a day where you get in trouble at school for talking to people about Jesus and about what Jesus has done. But think about it. Would you rather get in trouble with your teacher? Would you rather get in trouble with your boss? Or would you rather get in trouble with the Lord? Who do we really want to please here? You know, in the short term, getting in trouble in school really matters. It mattered to me a lot in high school. It even mattered to me a little bit in college. But, you know, once you get past that stage, you don't really care about what your teachers think about you that much. I don't really care much about what my elementary school, middle school, high school teachers think about me today. I don't even care what a lot of my college professors think about me today. You get past the point of caring about those things. The same is true. You may care a lot today about what your boss thinks, but there'll come a day where you don't care so much about that. And there's going to come a day for every single one of us when there's going to be only one thing we care about. And that's, what does the Lord think of me? And I need to live today like that. I need to learn today to care primarily about, what does God think about me? And is God pleased with the lifestyle that I'm living? And is God pleased with the way that I am acting? I want to say something about reasonable fears, how to overcome reasonable fears. And I'm talking about this idea of struggling with, I might end up doing more harm than good. I'll tell you this, or I might push people away, I might push my family away, or I might push somebody further from God than they already are. First of all, we need to remember that God is bigger than our blunders. God can overcome our mistakes. And if you do evangelism for very long at all, you will make mistakes along the way. You will say things in the wrong way. You will say things that you shouldn't say. At least if you're anything like me. That will happen. But there's a cure for our reasonable fears too. And I think this is helpful to think about. You can't push somebody further from God if you speak the truth in love. All right? That's what the Bible says about that. You can never push somebody further from God if you speak the truth in love. Now, I have seen people speak the truth and push somebody further from God because they spoke it in a way that was so unloving and so arrogant and so harsh that people were turned off by it. So truth itself is not enough. And in the same way, love itself is not enough. You can speak in a very loving way to somebody, but if you don't ever tell them what they really need to hear, you haven't helped them. But I'll tell you this, we will never push somebody further from God by telling them the truth in love. And we need to remember that. But what about our selfish fears? What about these more selfish fears that we have, fearing rejection? What can help us to overcome that fear of rejection? What can help us to overcome that fear of what people think about us? And I don't have all the answers for that. I think the Bible does. But I do want to suggest one thing that might be helpful. Somebody was addressing this one time, and he said, one of the things you should do if you're struggling with fear of rejection, if you're struggling with a fear of what people think about you, is just try to have a conversation with Jesus on the cross. All right, think about Jesus up on the cross, hanging there with the nails piercing his hand, dying, suffocating for your sins. And as you think about Jesus hanging on the cross, try and explain to Jesus why you are so afraid to speak about him. You know, thinking about Jesus and what the Lord has done, you know, having a conversation with Jesus, Jesus, I thank you so much that you were willing to come all the way down here from heaven and die on the cross for me. But I'm not willing to go out and talk to my friends, my neighbors, the people around me about you. I want to tell you, renewing our minds with the gospel, renewing our minds with what God has done for us, how God has poured out his love for us through Jesus Christ, will cure a lot of our selfish fears because we'll begin to care more about him and less about ourselves and less about what it may cost us if we choose to be obedient to him. There's more to say about that, but we'll come back to that. I want to move on to the third one, fear of rejection, fear of hurting more than helping. The third C here is consciousness. Consciousness. The idea behind consciousness is, well, one of the reasons I don't do evangelism is I'm just not really aware of the opportunities that are around me. Consciousness has to do with the idea of we forget about preaching. We are not conscious of the opportunities. We're not aware of the people all around us. In fact, there are some people, maybe you guys have seen this. There are some people that I have seen develop a love for God's word and a love for studying the God's word. But I think maybe even to the point where it could be harmful. You might say, how could it ever be harmful to read God's word? Well, I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen some people that spend so much time reading and studying God's word that they become really like modern monks. They sit in an office all day long, and they just read and read and read and study and study and study, and they never actually take the things that they have learned from the scriptures and take them out and share them with people around them. And I want to suggest that as Christians, we have to keep evangelism on the mind. I need to be devoting myself to the Word of God. That is essential. But if I'm not actually taking the things I'm learning and applying it through the work of evangelism, then all of that learning is for nothing. And so I think sometimes this is our problem. Some people mentioned just too much time at work, too tired to think about evangelism. Don't have enough time for it. It's not on my mind. There's too many other things going on. We're just not really thinking about it. What can you do if your problem is consciousness? What can you do if it's just not on the mind, evangelism on the mind? Well, one, I'm glad you're here tonight. Because hopefully discussions like this will keep evangelism on the mind. If there are classes that you know about where people are talking about evangelism, where people are talking about how to grow in evangelism, get involved in those. It'll help you to think about evangelism. We started in West Harlem, we started a couple years ago, once a month doing a class on evangelism. And the purpose of the classes is just to come together, to talk about evangelism, to encourage people in evangelism, to pray about it, and then to go out and make progress in doing the work of evangelism. That's something that can help with consciousness. Also, learn to pray for consciousness in evangelism. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. This is an evangelism prayer that I found extremely helpful to me in the work of evangelism. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Do you think if you prayed that prayer every day, that you'd be more conscious of the opportunities around you? I mean, often this is, the problem is not that there aren't opportunities all around us. The problem is our eyes are just blind to them. And this is what I was talking about last night. There have been times where, you know, it's not like the only time people were in need of the gospel, you know, in the park next to where I live, was that day when I was sitting there praying and there just happened to be somebody. How many other days have I been sitting in the park with people next to me and just been blissfully unaware of their need for the gospel? But I'll tell you, one thing that will help with that is prayer. Pray for consciousness. Pray that God will help you to stay alert. Pray that God will open up a door for you to preach the gospel. Pray that God will help you to act with wisdom toward outsiders. Pray that God will help you to make the most of every opportunity, to speak with grace, seasoned with salt, to know how to respond to each person. You see, those are prayers that address consciousness, prayers that address craft, prayers that address courage, and can help us to grow in that. So, every evangelism workshop I've been to, these are the three things that people have mentioned: craft, courage, consciousness. And I think these are all very key reasons why we don't do evangelism. But I don't think that they are the real reason why we don't do evangelism. And I'm going to say something hard. It was hard for me when it was first said to me. But I'm going to suggest that the real reason why we don't do evangelism is not primarily a lack of craft. It's not primarily a lack of courage. It's not primarily a lack of consciousness. It is a lack of care. And I've done workshops like this many times, and I've been in workshops like this, and nobody has ever said that. Nobody has ever said You know, the real reason why I don't do evangelism is I just don't care enough about God. Or I just don't care enough about people. But you know what? Even though we don't say it, it's true. It's true. The real reason we don't do evangelism, the real reason evangelism is such a struggle for us is because we don't care enough about the Lord and his people. Think about this. If you sit down and talk to somebody, how long does it take normally for you to figure out what's important to that person? You know, if you spend much time with somebody, normally within a few minutes, at least like an hour or so, you'll know what that person cares about because it just flows out of their conversation. You think about sports. You know that we care about sports because we love to talk about them. And they just kind of flow out of our lips. And nobody has to go to a workshop to figure out how to talk to people about the Colts or how to talk to people about your favorite basketball team. I know it can't be Indiana at this point. We don't have to do that. Why? Because we care deeply about those things. And they just come out in our conversation. Now, here's what I want us to see. The best evangelists I've ever been around, that's the way it works. They don't need a workshop. They don't need any sort of instruction. I shouldn't say any sort of instruction, but they don't need instruction to share the gospel with people. It just flows out of them because it's what they care about. It's what really matters to them. Think about this. Let's think about craft for a moment. The things in life that we care about, we find a way to do them. Is that not true? I have one of our young people at the congregation in West Harlem taught himself to play the saxophone. Now, I had to go to band class, and I had to have an instructor, and I had to have books and all this stuff to figure out how to play that instrument. I'm still not any good at it. But this kid taught himself to play it, and he's good. How? Well, he cared deeply about it, and so he found a way to learn to do it. The things in life that we care about, we always find a way to do them. We'll learn the craft. We'll do whatever it takes to figure it out because it's important to us. You see, the craft will come if the care for the Lord and for his people comes. Think about courage. Isn't this true? We have the courage to speak about the things that we really care about. In fact, if you don't believe me on this, go home and check out Facebook and look at some of the things people will say on Facebook, especially right now. It's election season. Read some of those posts. In fact, people will say some ridiculous things that they know are going to anger lots of people. Why do they say them? They care. These things really matter to them. That candidate really matters, or this issue really matters to me. And so I'm willing to say it, even though I know it's not going to be well received. People do that all the time. We do that with sports team too. We'll say things that are ridiculous about how wonderful Kentucky is, even when they're terrible. Why do we do that? By the way, I went to Kentucky. I know about that. Why do we do that? Because we care so deeply about them. It matters to us. And so what I'm trying to say is this, that if we learn to care deeply about the Lord and his people, it'll come out in our conversation. There won't be anything you can do to stop us from sharing the gospel. The courage will fall in line. Think about consciousness. Isn't it true? The things that are in our minds are the things we care the deepest about. They're the things that matter the most to us. They're on our minds because we care about them. And so if evangelism is not on the mind, then maybe I need to work on caring more deeply about the Lord and about his people. And I just have to say this, because I think it's important. In order for us to make progress in evangelism. And this weekend is all about making progress, so I apologize for throwing the hard stuff out here tonight. But in order for us to make real progress, we have to deal with the real issues. And we have to address the problem of craft and the problem of courage and the problem of consciousness. But we also have to address this problem of care. Because if I'm not growing in my love for the Lord, and I'm not growing in my love for the people that he's created, then I will never grow in evangelism. And I will never be an effective evangelist. None of us ever say, I just don't care enough. But the real reason we don't evangelize is because we don't care. And I want to encourage you, if that's where you find yourself right now, you feel like your care for the Lord and for doing his will has died out. If your care for people's souls has died out, whatever the issue is, today's the day to start working on that. Because whatever the issue is, whether it's caring for people's souls or caring for God's will, whatever we're lacking, that is a huge failure on the part of us as God's people. And we've got to correct it. And we've got to change it. And so we're going to have to go back to the scriptures. We're going to have to go back to the gospel. We're going to have to go back to the story of Jesus and learn, relearn to fall in love with him all over again. And when we learn to love him, when we learn to love God, and when we learn from him and his love for us, to extend that same love to other people, I'll tell you this, there won't be no stopping us in doing the work of evangelism. When you go back and you read the book of Acts and you read about the explosive kind of evangelism that we see in the first century, what drove that? What was the power behind that, accelerating that engine of evangelists? It was their love for the Lord. It was their appreciation for how bad they were, how wicked they had been, and how good God had been to them in those moments, how God had spared them the wrath that they deserved, how God had saved them from the mess that they got themselves in. And when we really appreciate how bad we've been and how good God has been, there will be no stopping us in doing the work of evangelism. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to address all four of these issues. We've got to work on our craft. We've got to work on our courage. We've got to work on our consciousness. But most importantly, brothers and sisters, we need to start today working on our care. And learn to love God more deeply and learn to love his people as well. I hope this has been helpful to you. I think it's very important for us to think about why we struggle with evangelism. And once we've addressed that, we can start to make some progress. So God willing, tomorrow's lessons hopefully will be more encouraging, more upbuilding, but sometimes we have to hear the hard things in order to be motivated to pursue the better things. If you're here tonight and you're not a disciple, if you haven't started loving the Lord, if you haven't decided to follow the Lord, tonight is the night. You don't know if you'll ever have another one. You don't know if you'll ever want another one. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to think seriously about the Lord and to think seriously about how much the Lord loves you. The only thing that will ever instill in selfish people like us that kind of love is the love that we experience from him. And as we experience God's love, it changes us and it molds us and it makes us into a different kind of people who love people in a way that we never thought we could. If you're not a Christian and you need to follow Jesus tonight, I encourage you to do that as together we stand and sing.